This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Part one of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you by Hawkeye Steel at the intersection of Route 138 and I-55 in White City, and by Farm Credit Services of Illinois.
Need steel for a future project or repair? Hawkeye Steel carries a wide variety of carbon steel products like angles, channels, tubing, and more. Everything for a metal building is in stock, like panels, beams, and screws. Metal panels and common links are in stock, while custom links in a variety of colors can be ordered. Visit them at the intersection of Illinois 138 and I-55 in White City, or call 866-999-7880. Hawkeye Steel. Build it to last. Build it with steel.
There's been a lot of changes in farming over the years, but at Farm Credit Services of Illinois, our commitment to farming and its way of life has never changed. Our products and services are a good fit because we understand the importance you place on your family and your farming operation. If it's the security of a long-term fixed-rate real estate loan, the flexibility of a one-year product, or one of our operating lines of credit, Farm Credit provides the products you want with the service you deserve. As a farmer-owned financial cooperative, Farm Credit has been serving farmers for generations. Whether we're in an office or on the farm, our commitment is the same. Dependable, constructive products and services designed for the way you farm. When you're looking for a lender that cares as much about you as you do your farm, look for Farm Credit of Illinois. You can find us online at fcsillinois.com or at 800-444-FARM. Farm Credit, a good fit for all your farm financial needs.
First of all, in the Farm Show on this Thursday, in electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade, March wheat now trading at 794.5, down 11.25. May wheat trading at 806, down 11.25. March corn trading at 697, down 6. May corn trading at $7.75, down 6.25. January soybeans trading at 14.28¾, down 8.25. March beans trading at 14.22¾, down 8.25. On the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday, March wheat ended at 8.05¾, down 5.5. May wheat ended at 8.17¼, down 5.75. July wheat ended at 8.23, down 6. March corn yesterday ended at 7.03, down 17. May corn ended at 7.07, down 16.75. July corn ended at 7.05¾, down 16. January soybeans yesterday ended at 14.37, down 29. March beans ended at 14.31, down 29.25. And May beans ended at 14.19½, down 0.25. January soybean meal yesterday ended at 4.36.50, down 84. March meal ended at 4.34.10, down 86. May meal ended at $425, down 68. January soybean oil yesterday ended at 48.41, down 76. March oil ended at 48.75, down 80. May oil ended at 49.22, down 80. March oats yesterday ended at 375¼, down 5¼. May oats ended at 382½, down 3¾. Right now we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the Cash Grain Report.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Wednesday's Grain Market Report. The Illinois country grain prices were lower on Wednesday, with corn and soybean values ending sharply lower. Corn futures were pushed down by lower-than-expected ethanol use figures. Technical and year-end fund selling weighed on soybean values. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids down 12 to 20 cents, 685 to 709. Soybean bids were 22 to 30 cents lower at 1405 to 1422. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 17 to 20 cents lower at 694 to 712, and soybeans dropped 27 to 31 cents at 1423 to 1441. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were down 17 to 23 cents at 671 to 719. Soybean bids fell 21 to 29 cents at 14.45 to 14.62, while the wheat bids were mostly 5 to 7 lower at 7.83 to 8.06. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids dropped 29 cents at 14.52 to 14.62. Basis ended steady, ranging from 15 to 25 over January. High Pro 48% soybean meal on a truck basis dropped $8.40 a ton to range from $4.47.50 to $4.58.50. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids 17 cents lower, range from 7.06 to 7.13. Basis ending steady, range from 3 to 10 over the March. Illinois river barge loading elevators quoted producer corn bids 17 to 19 cents weaker at 6.78 to 6.84, with basis ending steady to 2 cents lower, range from 25 to 19 under March. Soybean bids were down 26 to 29 cents at 14.48 to 14.58, with basis steady to 3 cents stronger at 11 to 21 over January. New crop wheat prices down 6 at 7.81 to 7.93, with basis ending steady, ranging from 42 to 30 under July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators place their producer corn bids 17 cents lower at 6.63 to 6.83. These same elevators dropped their soybean prices by 29 cents with quotations at 14.77 to 14.82. Soft red winter wheat fell 5 cents down to 7.95 to 7.96, and Milo ended 17 cents lower at 6.64 to 6.65. Contract bids to producers for new crop delivered grain in northern and western Illinois. New crop corn bids from country elevators to producers range from 5.66 to 5.78. New crop soybean bids at 12.46 to 12.58. In central Illinois, new crop corn bids at 5.73 up to 5.90. New crop soybean bids at 12.59 to 12.73. And in the southern part of the state, new crop corn range from 5.72 up to 5.98. Soybean bids were at 12.56 to 12.71, and the new crop wheat for July 13 delivery ranging from 7.71 up to 7.93. That completes our grain report for Wednesday. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Livestock futures on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday. February hogs ended at $86.57, up $1.30. April hogs ended at $91.45, up $1.17. May hogs ended at $98.95, up $0.95. December cattle yesterday ended at $129.47, up $1.25. February cattle ended at $134.35, up $1.40. April cattle ended at $137.95, up $0.82. January feeder cattle yesterday ended at $153.47, up $1.27. March feeders ended at $155.75, up $1.35. And April feeders yesterday, $157.47, up $1.40. Back we go to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the Cash Livestock Market Report.
Thank you. This is Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture bringing you the afternoon livestock report. Starting with the Eastern Corn Belt Hog Report, barrels and gilts on a carcass basis traded $2.31 higher, and calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded in the range of $68.83, with the weighted average carcass price of $79.45. The Illinois Direct Hog Trade, barrels and gilts at country buying points, traded mostly steady, ranging from $50 to $55. Receipts for Illinois hogs have totaled 14,624 head. The cattle trading in Illinois at United Producers Auction at Shelbyville had receipts totaling 467 head. Compared to last week, slaughter steers, heifers, and Holsteins traded $2 to $2.50 higher. Slaughter cows and bulls traded $2 higher, while feeder cattle were mostly $4 to $10 higher. Choice slaughter steers, $125 to $132.25. Choice slaughter Holstein steers brought $113 to $119.25. And choice slaughter heifers, $125 to $130. Moving on to the Fairview sale barn, they had receipts of 303 head. And compared to last week, slaughter steers and heifers sold $1 to $2 higher. Slaughter cows sold steady. And beginning with the choice slaughter steers, they were bringing $126 to $131.50. Choice slaughter heifers, $123.50 to $132.25. Then we went to the walnut special feeder cattle and bred cow sale. They had 709 head. Most all of the feeder cattle had received one or two rounds of shots and had long time been weaned. Bred cows were mostly older cows. Trade and demand was moderate on the bred cows, but with active trade and good demand on the feeder cattle. All feeder cattle were graded value added. Starting with the feeder steers, medium and large, ones and twos, 450 to 500 pounds, brought 169.50 to 173, and the 5 to 6 weights, 157 to 169. 6 and 7 weights were ranged between 147 and 160. The heifers, medium and large, 1 and 2s, 400 to 500 pounds, brought 145 to 151. Set of 550 to 650 pounds, 145 to 154. Moving on to the Greenville auction, opening report had receipts of 412 head compared to last week. Slaughter steers and heifers were trading higher, $1.50 higher, with Holstein steers not tested. Choice steers selling from 124 to 127, and choice heifers 123.50 to 127. That concludes the livestock report. This is Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Spot dairy prices on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday for butter 156 down 1, for block cheese 172 unchanged, and for barrel cheese 163 and 3 quarter up 3 quarter. The spot price for class 3 milk ending yesterday 1865. And here are the bids from Hog Inc. Incorporated of Greenfield and Scottville. Corn delivered to Greenfield for December, $6.91, for January, $6.92. Corn delivered to Scottville for December, $6.83, for January, $6.92. Beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville for December, $14.44, and for January, $14.44. Wheat delivered to Scottville for December, $7.62. For more information or to confirm the bids, call Hog Inc.'s Greenfield office at 217-368-2888. Pre-opening prices again, corn at Greenfield, $6.91, corn at Scottville, $6.83, beans at Scottville or Greenfield, $14.44, wheat at Scottville, $7.62. That's all for part one of the Morning Farm Show on this Thursday. Right now, color radar continuing to show a band of showers at this point east of Route 51. Continuing to move off to the east, this check of color radar weather brought to you by Carlinville Truck Equipment and by the M&M Service Company.
The wintertime is a great time to think about your lawn and ornamentals for the spring. Green Yard Lawn Care by FS will come out and give you a free estimate for lawn care applications, as well as herbicide, insecticide, and fertilizer treatments for your ornamentals. For a free estimate, call Green Yard Professional Lawn Care by FS at 1-800-962-7331 and ask for Tim Rothy, Turf Specialist for M&M Service Company.
Whether you're a municipality, business, or individual, Carlinville Truck Equipment has the Henderson Dump Body, Snowway Plow, or Salt Spreader to fit your needs. Carlinville Truck Equipment has its equipment ready for immediate delivery. Plus, as always, Carlinville Truck still has you covered for all your truck equipment services, your repair needs, farm bodies, hoist, van bodies, lift gates, service bodies, or any other truck equipment you might need. Call them at 854-6706 or see them on the web at ctemi.com.
Cloudy skies, windy today, occasional rain changing to snow and falling temperatures through the day. Southwest winds gusting to 45 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy, windy and colder, low temperatures in the low 20s. For tomorrow, Friday, sunny skies, the high in the low 30s. Your extended forecast for Saturday through Christmas Eve, mostly clear. Low temperatures in the mid-20s, highs in the low 40s. Right now at the Weather Center, southeast winds at 18 miles per hour, the barometric pressure steady. Cloudy skies, our temperature 51 degrees. Overnight, WSMI weather watcher Robin Troder of Jerseyville, 0.4 inch of rain. Once again, 51 degrees at the Weather Center. Part 2 of the Morning Farm Show is next.
This is Greg Hines at Hines Furniture, a block and a half west of the Carnival Square. At Hines Furniture, you may not find that same old thing everybody else is pushing, but everything you find at Hines Furniture is going to make a special Christmas present. Christmas is making people happy and feeling good. And what better way than to make that special someone feel good every day than with a brand new BEMCO mattress and foundation. The Berkshire Firmore Plush Queen Set start at $349. And try the Clayton with a layer of gel for that great sleep. Stop in today and find that right mattress for you.
Part two of the Morning Farm Show brought to you this morning by the CHS Service Center of Louder, by Seavers Equipment of Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, and Auburn, and by Envirofoam of America. In our farm news today, earlier this week on Tuesday, we talked to Arlen Suderman of Water Street Solutions about the grain trade. We discussed the Chinese practice of committing to purchase large amounts of corn or soybeans, then canceling the order to try and repurchase the grain at a lower price. Arlen explained how that affects prices on both sides of the Pacific.
Well, certainly when you take prices down 20, 25 cents a bushel, it certainly is a hurt to U.S. prices. But the bottom line is we know the demand for meat is very high in China, and it takes soy meal and DDGs in order to produce that meat, as well as U.S. corn. Along that note, the export shipment report that we got yesterday, with all the talk of the record crop that China had, USDA pegs China's crop at 208 million metric tons. Sinograin, which is a Chinese organization, government organization, pegs the crop at 198 million metric tons. And China took shipment of over 6 million bushels of corn, U.S. corn, last week. So they're very quietly continuing to take U.S. corn, aggressively taking U.S. soybeans. It looks to me like they're playing the market, but it is what it is. Those numbers will knock prices lower. We just have to wait now and see if China comes back in and makes a big purchase on the lower prices.
Those Chinese purchases of corn, do they do the same thing with that as they do with soybeans, commit to a purchase and then pull a plug on it after a day or two?
They sometimes do, but they're less likely to do it on corn because they don't buy the volumes of corn. They import around 58 million metric ton or so of corn per year, of soybeans per year, versus last year they imported about 5 million metric tons, or less than a tenth of that in corn. They're just starting to get into corn, so therefore there's not as much opportunity for them to play with the market that way.
And also, do they do the same thing when they commit to purchase, say, South American beans?
Oh, yeah, they're a very equal treatment. So how you do business with them, I don't know.
You got to be really careful and have a thick skin, I guess.
That's exactly right, and really know how to write those contracts and protect yourself on the board.
And that was Arlen Suderman of Water Street Solutions. From an expense standpoint, 2012 has been a challenging year for pork producers. That's been the focal point for the pork checkoff over the past year. National Pork Board CEO Chris Novak says the pork checkoff says progress is being made.
In some ways, there's better news, if you will, as we're going into late summer and early fall. We had one economist who was talking about the tsunami of red ink that was going to wash over pork producers. And since that time, we've seen some strengthening in the market, which I think is a symbol of where we're at in terms of consumer demand. Grain prices had stabilized just a little bit. We're still looking at record feed costs, but those two things combined have at least helped mitigate or reduce some of the losses that producers were forecast to experience in late 2012 and early 2013.
As the pork industry moves into the new year, Mr. Novak says there's reason for optimism.
As we're looking ahead into 2013, we're going to finish this year, we think, with another year of record exports of pork. We're seeing some real strength, particularly as we're coming through late fall in the domestic marketing side. Pork sales are up. We're up in September and October. That's encouraging, and we think we'll finish November and December as we get that data with strong sales numbers. Consumers are seeing the value of pork in the grocery store, and so even though meat prices are higher, there still is a good value and great opportunity with pork for the dinner table. those things are going to help us in 2013 and help speed the recovery for the industry.
For more information, go to www.pork.org. Recently, Thad Lively of the United States Meat Export Federation returned from a trip to Taiwan. He found an improving climate for United States meat exports, as Joe Sheely reports.
In September, Taiwan modified its zero-tolerance policy on ractopamine in beef, and Lively says the improvement in the business climate has been remarkable.
That problem has now been resolved. Taiwan has adopted the standard for ractopamine that we have and that other countries around the world have. So that allows us to export beef to Taiwan again without any problem. That's been in effect since September, and the market's showing very good signs of coming back. Taiwan's been a market that for quite some time has been very receptive to U.S. beef, and frankly, they love our product, and they missed it when it was gone, and they're very happy to have it now that it's back. So we're seeing some of the more high-profile restaurants and hotels there that always had U.S. beef prominently featured on their menus, and they're all coming back. We're seeing the same sort of thing starting to happen with retail chains. So we were very encouraged by what we saw there this week.
There's been no change in Taiwan's policy on ractopamine in pork, but Lively says with the controversy fading from the Taiwanese media, the business environment for pork is also showing some improvement.
We met with a number of the biggest importers and processors in Taiwan, and they're very interested in importing U.S. pork, and they made that quite clear. The ractopamine issue is still a problem for us, and it certainly depressed our exports there significantly, but the customers for U.S. pork in Taiwan are very interested in seeing that change. Not that it's likely to happen in the near term, but they continue to be good customers for U.S. pork and ones that I think we will have a long-term relationship with.
For more on this and other trade issues, please visit usmef.org. For the U.S. Meat Export Federation, this is Joe Sheely.
The militant side of the animal rights movement remains active, although its crimes are on a smaller scale than before, the American Farm Bureau's Stuart Trulson reports.
The animal rights movement often is nonsensical, like when female activists disrobe in public to protest the wearing of animal fur, or People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals files a lawsuit against SeaWorld for enslaving whales. The silly side of the animal rights movement grabs headlines now and then and makes it on the evening news and YouTube. But there's a more sinister side to the movement that uses arson and sabotage to make its point. In late November, a figure in decade-old eco-terrorism cases turned herself in along Washington's border with Canada. She was part of a group known as The Family, which was affiliated with the Earth Liberation Front and Animal Liberation Front, ELF and ALF, respectively. Members of these groups were responsible for a string of fires across the West that targeted the Vail Ski Resort, federal wild horse corrals, a tree farm, and other facilities related to agriculture, medical research, or land development. 10 people pled guilty to arson and conspiracy in the case in 2007. ALF continues to operate in small cells and is still taking direct action, as they call it, committing illegal acts. Not long ago, ALF took credit for raiding a farm that raised pheasants for hunting. Another group, the Animal Rights Militia, destroyed fur traps in the Northeast. Through its press office, ALF continues to publish incendiary blogs, essays, and communiques, in addition to posting videos. It continues to urge action. It's important not to be misled by silly publicity stunts and fund appeals. There's another side to the animal rights movement that uses intimidation and criminal acts in pursuit of its goals, and it's still active.
That's Stuart Trulison of the American Farm Bureau. In other farm news, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers is increasing Missouri River flows from the Gavins Point Dam near Yankton, South Dakota, instead of cutting back. According to Jody Farrett with the Army Corps Missouri River Basin Water Management Division in Omaha, several water intakes along the lower river are within inches of their critical shutoff elevations. With colder weather moving into the basin, there's concern that building ice will reduce the stages downstream. The releases from Gavin's Point will increase to 18,000 cubic feet per second today, up from 14,000 cubic feet per second. Governors, lawmakers, and farm groups had been asking the Corps to boost Missouri River levels to bring up the Mississippi River levels, but Farrett says these releases will not have any impact on the near-record-low Mississippi. According to Farrett, this additional water is not expected to make its way into the Mississippi until the ice melts in the spring. She says the increased releases is meant to replace the water that will be lost to ice over the next couple of weeks. Some reminders on this Thursday morning, the Hamilton Hay Auction will be held this weekend at their site near Fosterburg. Consignments will be accepted beginning at noon Friday up until sale time at 11 on Saturday. For more information, call Mike Hamilton at 618-410-4293. The Montgomery County Pork Producers and WSMI Radio are continuing their holiday tradition of the 12 days of Christmas. Until tomorrow, we'll give away $20 worth of pork certificates each day, courtesy of the Montgomery County Pork Producers. Just email your name and mailing address to Randy at WSMIRadio.com. Those who have won something from WSMI over the past 30 days are not eligible. Winners will be notified by mail. Once again, email to Randy at WSMIRadio.com. And the St. Louis Dairy Council is having a holiday recipe contest. The grand prize is a $100 Williams-Sonoma gift card. For details and official rules, visit stldairycouncil.org. 6:35 on this Thursday morning. In electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade, March wheat now trading at 792. Now trading at 791¾, down 14. May wheat trading at 883½, down 13¾. March corn now trading at 694½, down 8½. May corn now trading at 698¼, down 8¾. January soybeans trading at 1427¾, down 9¼. March beans trading at 1421¾, down 9¼. We'll keep you updated throughout the day with the commodity markets on both WSMI and WSMI FM 106. Part two of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by EnviroFoam of America, by the CHS Service Center of Louder, and by Seavers Equipment of Hemel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, and Auburn.